You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, church family, turn in your Bibles again this week to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we are continuing our series we've been in called The Secret to Your Dream Life. And I want to encourage you that today's going to be a good day to take some notes. I know maybe you're not a note taker, but today just might be your day. We're going to have some fun in here, all right? And I want you to do this one more time with me. Come on, just look right here. Everybody look right here. God has a dream for your life. Each and every one of you. Do not even think about excluding yourself from that statement right now, okay? I'm telling you, and here's how I know he has a dream for your life, because you yourself did not come up with the idea of you. God came up with the idea of you. Is that right? I know it is. Come on. And here's the key, though, okay? Here's the secret to your dream life. He dreamed of what your life would look like and what it was you would do as you live your life with God. That's the key. As you live your life with him, I'll remind you, Ephesians 2:10 says that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. You exist because you were created by God through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, to do life with Christ Jesus. And here's why, here's your purpose in life, to do good works with him. Listen to me, to accomplish a God-given mission that he specifically designed your life for. He has a life of impact and significance for you to live. And again, here's how I know he dreamed you up and has a dream for your life, because he prepared those good works for you to do in advance. Before time even began, he was thinking about you. So I'm telling you, there is nothing random chance about your life. God didn't just get all willy-nilly when he created you. That's just fun to say. Willy-nilly. God has a dream for your life. And his dream is the only thing that is going to fulfill you. Nothing else is going to work. It's not just, oh, I'll get a better job and I'll be happy. Or, oh, I'll finally get some money and I'll be happy. Or a bigger house or fame. Or I need a new boyfriend. I need a new girlfriend. I wish I had a different spouse. Or I wish I had a forever vacation. That's not it. The real dream life is your life filled with fulfillment. And I'm telling you that you can have it. You can live in it. God wants that for you. But here's the key. You can only have it. You can only live in it if you live your life with God. And so last week we talked all about the secret place with God. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus tells us about this secret thing that we can all do with God in order to have deep relationship with God and therefore live in the dream life with God that he has for us. But I'm going to take it a step further this week, okay? Listen to me carefully. If you are not consistently spending quality alone time with God in the secret place, then you're not really living life with God. Ouch. And I know some of you want to argue against that, but I'm going to show it to you, okay? Listen to me. Most Christians today treat God like a crutch rather than the shield that he really is. Crutch mentality versus shield mentality. You see, God wants you to live life proactively with him. He designed you to do good works with him, to live the life of impact and significance, okay? And when you devote consistent time with him in the secret place, that allows him to prepare you and strengthen you and equip you to proactively make an impact in the public place. It's where you don't just pray reactionary prayers when life is happening to you. It's where with God, you're on the front, you're on the forefront praying proactively in preparation for the things that you're facing or the things you might face as you live life with him and make an impact on your world. When you don't do life with God in the secret place, your prayer life becomes reactionary rather than proactive. You make God a crutch rather than allowing him to be the shield that he really is. You're like, oh no, it's happening again. Life's happening. God, help. It happened to me again. I can't believe I'm going through this again. Rather than get out of my way, I'm coming with God. He's got me. We're going to make an impact together. Crutch versus shield. You could also say it this way, a life of mediocrity, or again, the life of impact. Are you seeing this? Life is still going to happen to you, but you can either struggle through it, or in terms of mediocrity, you can lay low and avoid the good works that Jesus has called you to and prepared in advance for you to do, and therefore not live in the dream, or you can stand firm with God as he shields you, as he shelters you and prepares you and transforms you and as you take new ground and make the impact that he's called you to make on your world because you are proactively sheltering your life in God. Come on, Psalm 28:7, watch this. The Lord is my strength and shield. Do you know what a shield does? What a shield does for a soldier? It allows a soldier to continue to advance on his enemy while still giving him a shelter or her, a shelter and a protected place, a secret place, but as they keep moving forward. Come on, and remember this one? We read this one last week in the Old King James. Come on, Psalm 91:1, KJV says, he that dwelleth in the what? In the secret place. Other translations say shelter. In the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Most people who say they love Jesus aren't doing this. God is their crutch rather than their shield. Listen to me, they're living reactionary lives in proximity to him rather than proactive lives with him. And therefore, they're not living in the dream, okay? So before we go any further, here's the title of today's message, How to Have Your Very Own Secret Place. How to have your very own secret place. And can I just tell you something this morning? This is the entire point of this whole entire sermon series. You taking this step to start having your very own secret time and place, your quality, consistent alone time with God, is the whole reason we are doing this series. Church family, I spent the better part of the last two messages explaining why this is so important. Are you seeing why this is so important? Listen, and I'm telling you, I want this so bad for you because I love you and because I want so badly. I know that God has a dream for your life and I want so badly for you to live in it, but I also know for a fact that you won't get there if you never take this step. It pains me to watch people neglect the secret place and live the crutch life. You were made for impact. And God has brought us together here, not just to play mamby-pamby, willy-nilly crutch church. We're here to take a city back, and you're supposed to be a part of it. But you're going to miss out on it if you continue to miss out on the secret place. You've got to do life with Jesus. Come on, do you want it? I'm really asking, do you want it? Do you want relationship, deep relationship, your very own with Jesus? Do you want to make an impact? Do you want to experience significance? Come on. Then I want to tell you this morning, I want to tell you how God has personally shown me this. And I'm just going to give you a glimpse of what God has done in my life through the secret place, okay? But then listen to me. I also want to tell you how, very practically, you can start to have your very own secret place with God. You guys with me this morning? All right, so listen, with your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse 6 again. Matthew 6, verse 6, I'm going to read out of the NIV. Jesus shows us the secret to living life with God. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in, everybody say secret. Come on. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you with the life of impact and significance. So at the very beginning of 2008, 10 years ago, I began to have my very own, for the first time in my life, my very own secret place with God, my consistent quality alone time with God. In June of 2007, Rachel and I got married, and we lived in a small apartment in the Kansas City area, a two-bedroom apartment. We had our bedroom, and then I had an office. But for about the first 6 months of our marriage, neither one of us really spent that much time. We did read our Bibles, but we weren't spending that much time reading our Bibles, okay? And we certainly weren't having much personal alone time with God, okay? Now, we did go to church every Sunday. Some of you need to hear that. Listen to me. We went to church every Sunday. You hear me? We showed up. We brought our tithes. We served all the time. We loved Jesus. We would pray together before bed, but we weren't reading our Bibles that much, and we were not having very much personal alone time with God at the time. Okay, but then in Christmas of 2007, something happened to me that changed my life forever. Okay, Rachel's family, her side of the family, we're all getting together in Colorado Springs for Christmas. And so we went there and we were having just holiday time together. And we had the big holiday meal together, big Christmas lunch, you know? And then after Christmas lunch was over, we did that thing that you do at family gatherings. All the women left to go shopping and all the men, like with ham grease still all over their faces. You know what I'm talking about. We all went and sat down in the recliners in the living room and fell asleep with the TV on. That is what you do at holiday meals, right? Okay, so, but listen, and I mean, dudes were everywhere. Dudes, cousins, people just laid out on the floor, dudes in recliners. Pastor Greg, my father-in-law, he was there. He was having a holy nap. It was just all shiny right here. He was out. I was on one end of this recliner couch, but I'm not kidding. I was the only one in the room who had not fallen asleep. I was wide awake, okay? And then it's kind of hard to describe what happened next, but I'm being completely serious. All of a sudden, I really felt like Jesus just walked into the room. I'm not kidding. I really felt the presence of God, and I perked up. And then I heard Jesus speak to me just right here in my heart, and I heard him say this, "Hey, Brandon," and listen, it was kind of strong too. "Hey, Brandon, when you get back from your little vacation here, I want you to meet me in your office at 6 a.m. When you're done here on vacation and you get back to Kansas City, you come meet me in your office at 6 a.m. And if you don't, I'm going to treat it like you stood me up. Because I'm asking you, we're going to have coffee together. And if you don't show up, it's like you didn't show up for our coffee appointment. You be there at 6 a.m. And then Jesus was out. Okay, church, I'm going to be really real with you. Jesus kind of scared me that day. Jesus kind of scared me into meeting him in the secret place. Listen, here's the truth. I honestly felt like I was going to be in serious trouble if I didn't show up that morning at 6 a.m. Okay, but here's what happened on January 2nd. Wednesday, January 2nd of 2008, I got up at 6 a.m., which gave me an hour before I had to get ready for work, and I went into my office, and I closed the door, and I began to meet with Jesus, one-on-one, just me and him. And listen, something happened to me. I very quickly could not get enough of that time. In fact, I started looking forward to getting up at 6 a.m. Prior to that, my entire life, I was the guy who would sleep in until the very last minute, until he had to be someplace. Come on, somebody, I know you can relate. Listen, but my life started changing, and I started telling Rachel about what God was doing in my life, and she could see it, and before long, she started getting up with me at 6 a.m., and she'd hang out with God in the living room while I was in my office. We each had our own secret time and place with God, and then at that time in our lives, 1 hour started to not be enough. We actually started getting up at 5:50, and then that wasn't enough, and then 5:45 and 5:40. Finally, we landed at 5:30. We were getting up every morning to spend quality alone time with God. Now, I will tell you, that's where it stopped. That's as holy and as devout as we could get, okay? I actually discovered I'm not a very nice Christian if I get up before 5:30. That's just me. Listen, okay, couple things to note, though. I'm trying to show you this, okay? Couple things to note. We did not get up at 5:30 on Saturday mornings, okay? We slept in as long as we could on Saturday mornings. Thank you, Jesus, for Saturday. Yeah? We did not get up at 5:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, okay? On Sunday mornings, we would sleep in until it was time to get up and get ready to go to church, where we would then spend time with God and all of his people, okay? So I don't want you to think that we've done this literally every day of our lives, but I will tell you that ever since January of 2008, this has been a priority for us. Now, it's the amount of time we've spent with God and the places we've met with God, that's fluxed over the years as different seasons have changed. Like when we started having kids, life changed. Okay, parents that have little kids, you know this. You're going to have to be a secret place ninja. I'm serious, okay? You're going to have to sneak in, sneak out, but you might have to hold a baby while you're having your alone time with Jesus, okay? But you still need that time. And so I'm telling you, this changed our lives, and God has brought us into the dream he's had for our lives because of that time we have invested with him. I'm telling you, we are having the time of our lives with you guys. Our lives are not perfect. We still have struggles. God's still freeing me from my past and from sin. But I'm telling you, we know this. We are in the center of what God created us for, and our lives are filled with fulfillment because of it. Church, I truly discovered my purpose in life during my time in the secret place. Get this. This is no joke. I just began to ask God, why did you make me? What did you create me for? Who knew you could even ask him that? Who knew he'd answer? But he did. I started asking God, why am I on this earth? What have you put me here for? And we went on a journey together, me and God, and he began to reveal my purpose. In fact, here's what he began to show me over time. He said, Brandon, you're an encourager. I've made you to be an encourager. He said, you're going to encourage people to love me with everything that they are and to live up to their full potential in me. I wrote it down in my journal, church. This is my personal mission statement for my life that I found in my quiet time. I made it personal. I am encouraging others to love Jesus and live up to their full potential in him, to live the dream life. To live the life that he created them for. Listen, I wrote that down in 2008. And that's literally what my life is about today. But this was years before I ever became a pastor. I started living for that mission, that purpose that God showed me back then. I started living in the dream. I lived this dream at work long before my work was being a pastor. I'm literally living this out right now. I am right now encouraging others to love Jesus and live up to their full potential in him. God has a dream for your life. He has a very specific mission and plan for your life. You can find it out. You can live in it. But I'm telling you, you've got to meet with God. He's the one who knows what it is. And it's going to be through deep, committed relationship with him that he's going to put you on that path and get you into it more and more. You can't ignore the secret place and live in the mission he has for you. Live in the dream. So come on, do you want to know how to have your very own secret place? Listen, let's talk about it. Let's get practical, okay? Honestly, when Jesus told me to meet him in my office at 6 a.m., I'll be honest, I really didn't know what to expect, and I really didn't know what to do. Okay, I did what I knew to do. I read my Bible and I began to pray. Okay, but now I did understand this though. Listen, I understood that Jesus had asked me there to meet him for coffee. So I had this picture in my mind. We're about to build a relationship. What I'm about to do right now is going to be a relational thing. I'm not just here to go through some quiet time routine. I'm not just here to check off some religious checklist. I'm here to be relational with my God. And so I tried my best to do that, okay? Now, by the grace of Jesus, at that time in my life, I had also started listening to a bunch of sermons by Pastor Robert Morris. A bunch of you guys remember him. He led us in our Blessed Life series that we went through. He's phenomenal. So around that time, though, I found a sermon by him, and it was all about how to have a quiet time or how to have devotionals or how to spend time alone with God in the secret place. And I thought, well, this is fantastic because I need to know how to do this. And so listen to me. Much of the practical stuff that I'm about to share with you is stuff that I learned 10 years ago, okay, from Pastor Robert, and I began to apply it to my life. And I'm telling you, it has changed my life. I would not be here today had I not invested time in the secret place. I want this so bad for you, okay? And here's the other cool thing. Most of what I'm about to talk about comes straight out of Matthew 6:6. All right? So listen, real quick, okay? I'm serious. These aren't going to be long. I got 5 easy points for you on how you can have your very own secret place with God. You guys ready for this? All right, here we go. Number 1, just do it. And I know Nike's blowing that thing up again. Don't get offended, some of you. All right? Whether you're pro-kneeling or not kneeling, whatever you want to do, the only thing I'm concerned about is, are you kneeling to Jesus? Okay? You should be way more concerned about that, all right? But when it comes to your secret place, listen, you just have to do it. You just have to do it. Listen, you have to take personal responsibility for your life. You have to stop making excuses for why you're not spending time in the secret place with God. That you've got to do this, okay? Listen, do you remember what God spoke to me or what Jesus said to me in that living room in Colorado Springs? He said, hey, Brandon, when you're done with this little vacation that you've been on, okay, here's really what I felt like he meant in the moment. This is really the picture I got. Hey, Brandon, when you're done with this perpetual vacation you've been on from our relationship and the life that I have for you, when you're done with that, you come meet me in your office and let's get started. With so much grace, many of us need to be done with our perpetual vacation that we've been on from our relationship with God and the life he has for us. It's time to join him in the secret place. It's time to get started on the dream life. Okay? In the words of Pastor Greg, he says it's time to make God a priority. He says this, priorities aren't task lists. They're not events. They're not to-do things. Priorities, real priorities, are relationships. And if you never prioritize your relationship with God, you really won't have one. So church, in Matthew 6:6, you got to notice this. Jesus says, when you pray, when you go into the secret place. Friends, he does not say, if you pray. That's nothing that he says, okay? Meaning that if you're a follower of Jesus, it's a given that this is something that you are going to do consistently. Is this a given for your life? Is spending time alone with Jesus a given for your life right now? I'm telling you, it has to be. And I'm just going to share my heart this morning. Listen, I have received a lot of conviction from God over this point right here, leading up to this series. Weeks ago, God began to speak to me about this point right here. And here's what I felt like he said. Brandon, don't you dare apologize to people for the fact that they're going to have to choose to spend time with me. And here's the picture I got with that, because here's what I've even said this to you guys before. I've said things like, just start with 15 minutes. Just spend 15 minutes. Okay, do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like me begging you to do something that you ought to want to do. That sounds like me apologizing to you for the fact that you get to spend time with Jesus. I'm not going to do that. I just refuse to do that, okay? Listen, here's what I'm doing. Here's really what God is doing. He's giving you a choice right now. He's giving you the choice. Come spend time with him and live life with him to the fullest. Live a life like you never dreamed of, or don't. Keep doing life your way. The choice really is yours. And look, I'm not saying that you have to spend an hour every morning. I'm not saying that. Right now, my own personal secret place time is a half an hour long, okay? Half an hour long. But I show up And I give him that time, okay? We spend that time together. I want it for you. I want it so bad. Jesus wants it for you, but I can't do it for you. You have to take responsibility for your own life, and you've got to just do it. All right, here's point number two, all right? Shut out the noise. Shut out the noise. Again, in Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, go into your room, your inner room. The KJV says, go into your closet and shut the door. Okay, I want to help you out, okay? It doesn't literally have to be a closet. I had a young woman here last week. She came up to me and she said, I was getting pretty nervous that I was going to actually have to clean out my closet so that I could get inside of it. It doesn't literally have to be your closet, okay? It can be your living room. It can be your bedroom, your office. It can be your car in a parking lot. But the idea is this: get alone with Jesus and shut out the outside distractions and shut off the internal distractions. Shut off those things as well. The Bible even says this: quiet yourself before God. Right? Be still and know that I'm God. David says, I silently wait upon the Lord, okay? Find a quiet place where you can be alone, where you can calm yourself and spend time with God. And listen, and don't get discouraged as you try to calm yourself, okay? Or as you try to shut down your internal thoughts for a moment. It can take a few minutes. Have you ever tried to pray and focus on God and your brain just keeps interrupting? I'm trying so hard and, hey, what you doing? Did you remember to send that text to that person? What do you want for lunch today? Are we having Chipotle or are we having pizza? Well, both of those have carbs. I don't know if we can do that. This is my brain, okay? Look, sometimes it can take a few minutes to calm yourself down, but personally, this is why I think getting up in the morning and doing this before you've given your attention to anything else is the best way to go. So before I give myself to anything else, or my thoughts or my attention, and before anyone else is up, I get up, and now, hallelujah, I get my coffee first, okay? But then I sit down with my coffee, and Jesus and I hang out, okay? And plus, I really believe this. I really believe it's a lot like the tithe. You give your first and your best to God, and he blesses the rest. Yeah, okay? So listen, but you got to find a time that's going to work for you, all right? And listen, shutting off the distractions, it's so much harder to have to shut off the distractions when you've got your phone there and you're getting texts. It's so much harder to shut off the internal distractions after you've already checked your email inbox or you've been looking at Facebook. Sometimes the best thing you can do is leave that phone in the other room. Or if reading your Bible on your phone is the method you use, I'm serious, put that thing on airplane mode while you hang out, for real. But find a time and a place where you can shut out the noise and calm yourself before Jesus. This will help. This next one, here's number three, worship God. Worship God. Church, I want you to watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Those are your very own personal keys into the throne room of God. Praise God. Click. Worship God. Click. Thank God. Click. Here I am, Jesus. Come on. You enter the presence of God when you begin to give him praise and thanks and worship. And I'm telling you, in your very own secret place, you can find yourself surrounded in the presence of God. So here's what I do when I go into my secret place. I'm not kidding. I sing to Jesus. I start by singing to Jesus. I worship him. I thank him. I praise him. I even do this. I'm the only one in my living room. I get down on my knees often and I lift my hands to God and I just start praising him. I start singing to God. Now, because I'm up before all the other kids, I don't sing out loud. Dear Jesus, why would I ever want to wake up a sleeping kid? I would never want that. Right? So listen, I sing quietly, or I whisper sing, or sometimes I just sing in my heart to God, okay? Now, you might say, well, what do I sing? What songs do I sing? Sing songs that we sing right here at church. Honestly, I sing a chorus or I sing a verse. Sing a song that you, like a praise song. You don't want to just do any song. Like, yeah, okay. sing a praise song to Jesus, something that you've heard on the radio, or if you need to get, turn, yeah, I know, I was about to, yeah, we don't want to go there. Turn on some worship music and sing along. But sing to God, begin to praise him. You say, well, I'm not a very good singer. Now, that's a valid point. I'm joking. But some of you guys really sound like those bad American Idol auditions. That was a joke. These are jokes. We're just having fun, right? Okay. Listen, no, let me, some of you got really offended, like, I'm out of here. Let me encourage you. Listen, no matter how you sound, God gave you your voice. And he loves it. He loves it when you praise him with your voice. And more than that, he loves your heart. He loves listening to what's going on in your heart as you're giving God praise. So worship God. Enter his presence. Do like I do if you need to. Whisper, sing. Sing quietly to him, but give God the praise he deserves. Have you ever wondered why worship is the first thing we do here on a Sunday morning? Okay, yes, it prepares our hearts to receive the word, but I'm telling you, it's the fastest ticket there is into the presence of God. We want to be in his presence, right? So we enter his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. How many of you guys have experienced the presence of God? You've felt his presence. You've experienced a move of God in your life as we've been singing here on a Sunday morning before. Anybody? Right? You can have that, and you need that regularly in your own living room, in your bedroom, in your car. Start, as you enter your secret place, start by giving God praise, all right? Then here's number four, read God's word. Read God's word. Again, church, Jesus says in Matthew 6:6, he says, when you pray. So I want to remind you, you're not there to do a to-do list. You're not there to check off a religious checklist. You're there to be relational. You're there to meet and talk with Jesus, and prayer is a conversation, and one of the biggest ways Jesus will talk to you is through his word. His word is like a personal letter that he wrote to you. Stop treating the Bible like it's just some kind of history lesson. Stop treating it like it's just some kind of book of rules. It's Jesus, it's God speaking directly to your heart. You've got to see it for what it is. God's showing you just how gracious he is and how wonderful he is and how powerful and kind he is. And God's showing you that he can take anybody, the most ordinary, most imperfect, most messed up people, and he can lead them to live the lives of impact and significance. You will see people just like yourself who end up living the dream life. Check this out. I've been encouraging us to read our Bibles for quite a while now. And so several months back, a young woman here in our church, she started reading her Bible during her lunch break. And she texted this text to Pastor Greg, and then he forwarded it to me. But check out what she wrote. This is right here from in our church family. She said, so I've been reading through the Bible on my lunch breaks. Pastor Brandon was talking about how it's a great way to grow when you're not sure how to. And these guys in the Bible are nuts. She says this, I'm serious. They're normal. Noah got drunk. Abraham listened to his wife rather than God. Isaac loved Rebekah a whole lot. Watch this. Lot's daughters were creepers. It's true. You got to read that story. Anyway, she says, I love that they're normal people. They're not perfect. And God blesses them despite their imperfections because God can see that their hearts are trying. It's just that sometimes their hearts are clogged with sin. I'm telling you, listen, you'll see people like yourself who end up living the dream life. And here's the other thing that's going to happen as you read God's word. God will unclog your heart. He will begin to change you. He will show you the dream he has for you as you dive into his word consistently, okay? So listen, sometimes I read a chapter a day, sometimes I read several chapters a day, but I consistently read God's word. And I know some of us, sometimes we feel like we're intimidated to do that. Don't be intimidated, okay? Just get a version of the Bible that you can understand. I highly recommend the New Living Translation or the Message Bible. Okay, just read a version that you can understand. Some of you say, I don't know where to start. Start in Matthew at the beginning of the New Testament. Just start there. Start reading about the life of Jesus and keep reading until you get all the way through the New Testament. And at that point, if you don't know where to read, come talk to us and we will help you out. Church family, there is no substitute for the Word of God in your life. Okay, here's my very last point. Number five, pray. Pray. So one more time, listen, I'm talking about a relationship, okay? I'm talking about you and Jesus, your best friend. It's you and him hanging out in the fort together, okay? Prayer is a conversation. So here's what you do, okay? Just talk with Jesus about what's on your mind. Talk with Jesus about what's really going on in your heart. This doesn't have to be that time of the day where you pray for the nations. Okay, this doesn't have to be where you pray for world peace or where you've got 30 people on your prayer list and you got to get through them all, okay? That is not the point of this time. This point right here is relational time, you and Jesus together. You have permission to pray about what's going on right here, what's going on right here. Okay, listen to me. The two biggest things I pray for in my secret place right here. Number one, I pray this all the time. I'm not kidding. Jesus, help me not to sin. In other words, change me. Change my life. And then I pray this. I pray, Jesus, use me. Which often ends up becoming a prayer for other people. Jesus, give me boldness. Before I was a pastor, but still even here, I'd pray, Jesus, give me boldness at work. Give me boldness to talk to people about you, to share what you're doing. God, come show up and use me. Who can I encourage? Who do I need to encourage today? Put somebody on my heart that I can reach out to today. Who can you put me on a path with today that I can get in their life and encourage them? God, use me. What are you doing today and how can I be a part of it? Church, talk with him about what's on your heart and what's on your mind. And then, don't miss this, prayer is a conversation. And then, listen for what God wants to say to you. Yes, listen to what he will speak to you through his word, okay? But just like we do here every Sunday, ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Listen for his voice. He will talk to you. Write down your prayers. Journal your prayers. Sometimes that helps. And sometimes even just journal. Begin to write down what you think God might be saying to you. And that can actually help you begin to discern what God is saying to you. By the way, next week, okay, next Sunday, we are going to talk all about how you can hear the voice of God in your life. Okay? And everybody in here is getting a brand new journal that they can have in their own secret place, okay? All right? Don't miss next week. All right? We want to equip you. This is so important, okay? Church family, listen, one more time. Here's those points, okay? Just do it. You have to. Shut out the noise, worship God, read his word, and pray. Because I'm telling you that God has a dream for your life. And I'm telling you, you can live in it. You may feel like you're so far from it or, oh, it's going to take so much time for me to get there. But I'm telling you that as you just begin to take this step, as you move your foot and you start taking this step, I guarantee God will begin to unfold the dream for your life. I wonder how much encouragement he has just for you. Tomorrow morning, I wonder what he wants to say just to you. Tomorrow morning. I wonder what problems you're facing right now that he wants to take care of. I wonder how he wants to help you tomorrow. I wonder how he wants to work in and through you to begin to heal your marriage. I wonder what he wants to say to you so that you might be an encouragement to your kids. I wonder what breakthrough he wants to bring about in your life. I wonder what purpose he'll begin to tell you about as you start asking him, God, why am I here? I wonder how much fulfillment he's going to begin to pour out into your life as you just even begin to take this one step. I want it so bad for you. Jesus wants to meet you there. The question is, how bad do you want it for yourself? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's he bringing to your heart? This is heavy on my heart right now. I wonder if Jesus isn't saying to a whole bunch of us, hey, you need to meet me in your office tomorrow morning. Or you need to meet me in your bedroom or your living room, or you need to go park in that parking lot. You need to meet me tomorrow morning. Or you need to come be with me on your lunch break. I wonder if Jesus is saying that to many of us right now. I'm telling you, the best decision I ever made was to get up on Wednesday, January 2nd, 2008, and begin to spend time with Jesus alone. I would not be here today had I not shown up that day and kept moving forward with him. Come on, he's inviting you. He's saying, come away with me. Come spend time with me. I've got a dream for your life. I've got a life you can't even imagine in front of you. Let's do this together. Church family, do you want to do life with Jesus? This is how. Go spend time with him. Make a commitment right now. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now, and how do you need to respond? What if you just commit right now? God, tomorrow, I'm putting the excuses aside, and tomorrow I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to take the time, and then the day after that, I'm going to get alone with you. And if I miss a day or two, I'm not going to beat myself up, and I'm not going to let it take me out. I'm going to pick up the shield again, and I'm going to keep moving forward. Well, make a commitment to him. I guarantee if you do, if you stay consistent with this, your life will never be the same. God, I pray, would you come and seal this work inside of us? I pray, would you, Lord, not just me, not just my words, but Holy Spirit, come and give us all an invitation. Some of us need just even an idea of where to start and where to begin. Would you just begin to lay that on our hearts? I pray this would be a church family full of people who know their God in the secret place. I pray that for every family, for every individual in here, that they would be an individual, that they would be a man or a woman or a family that knows what it is to be with God in the secret place. I pray we would take up you as our shield. I pray we would all begin to move forward in the lives that you have for us. Thank you that you shelter us. Thank you that you protect us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have life for us in front of us. Thank you that you defeat the enemy. Thank you that we don't have to stay where we're at. Thank you that today's a new day. Thank you that tomorrow morning's a new morning. And your mercies are new. Your grace is abundant. God, wake us up in the morning. Call our names. And we choose, we commit to meet with you. Have your way in our lives, Lord. And we pray through this church family, Lord, may more and more and more and more be drawn into relationship with you, the secret place with you. Let this city be reborn. We pray all this in the incredible name of Jesus. And all my friends said, Amen. Amen. Come on, can we thank God together today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.